Hi there, and welcome to session 31 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and today is the day that I take your questions. Now this week, we have a diverse amount of questions, but the thing is that they're all common questions that I've had listeners ask. I think you're going to be blown away by some of the interesting information that you'll learn today. A million thanks to everyone who submitted, but due to time limitations, I can only take a few questions. But if your question isn't answered today, rest assured that I've taken note and I'll try to answer them in our next episode. Just as a reminder, if you would like to submit a question, you can shoot me an email at editor@thefrugalchicken.com or contact me over social media. You can find me on Facebook at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook or over Twitter at thefrugalchicken.com/Twitter. And another reminder, which is that you can get this episode's show notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast31. That's podcast with the numbers 3 and 1. So now our first question is a very common one I get and a common one I see on the internet. And that question is, can I keep chicks and ducklings together? Now everyone's going out and buying chicks, and of course at the same time the feed stores sell ducklings. And personally, I bought chicks and ducklings at the same visit. So it's a very common question about whether or not you can keep them together. And the short answer here is yes, but there are some things to consider. Now, while chicks and ducklings have the same heat requirements, meaning that you should use some sort of a heat lamp with them, and that you should put the day-olds in a brooder where the temperature is 90 degrees, and then go ahead and decrease that temperature by 5 degrees every week until they're fully feathered or until they're able to handle the room temperature. There are some major differences between how chicks and ducklings act in a brooder that you need to consider. And there's also some differences in feed requirements as well as some differences in behavior that can affect both of them. So the first thing is that ducklings are very, very messy with their water. And they actually poop worse than chickens. Chicks make these tiny little poops, and they're usually kind of solid, whereas duck poop is really sort of all over the place. It tends to be wetter. But more importantly, ducks tend to really play in their water and get the water everywhere, and they get the shavings or whatever sort of material you're using in the brooders to catch the manure. They get it very wet very quickly, and all that mixes with all that manure. So they get the brooder disgusting very quickly. And that's really not an environment that's healthy for any bird, but in particular, it's not healthy for chicks. You know, ducks are a little bit hardier than chicks. Chicks tend to be pretty fragile. And so that environment is really sort of a breeding ground for problems with chicks. So when chicks get wet, their down obviously gets wet, and it also gets dirty from things like food, dander, poop, you know, whatever happens to be in the brooder. You know, they might get some shaving stuck in it. So the down gets wet and then it also gets dirty. And as it dries, it starts to stick to them. So all of that dirt and filth is sticking to them. And it really creates a situation where the chicks get dirty and then they get colder and they get colder faster. And then they might end up with some sort of health issues. So getting chicks wet and getting their down dirty is just a really bad idea in terms of, you know, their overall health. I have had this happen before when I've kept chicks and ducks together, and also when chicks get wet, you know, for example, you get one chick that gets messier with the water than the other chicks, and it gets the other chicks wet, so you have to wash them in order to get all this gunk out, and then that in and of itself leads to a whole host of other issues. So the problem with keeping chicks and ducklings together isn't a behavioral thing in terms of if they're going to pick on each other, if they're going to fight. It's more a behavioral issue in terms of how ducklings deal with water and how they like to play with water. So personally, I really actually don't recommend keeping chicks and ducklings together in a brooder, specifically because of this issue. You know, they're not going to fight or anything, but I really actually don't think it's a healthy environment for chicks. Now, at this time, there's something else I want to address, which I see this on the internet a lot, which is the idea that chick food, the 18% chick starter, a commercial feed, will kill ducks. Now, once upon a time, that was true, but now it's not. There's really no problem feeding chick food to a duckling. You know, they're not going to, you know, get killed from it. There are some other issues that you should take into consideration, but by and large, chick starter is perfectly fine to give ducklings. Now, it's really best to give ducklings a feed specifically made for waterfowl or a game feed, and that's in order to make sure that your ducklings don't become niacin deficient. On Chickstarter, it might happen, it might not happen, but there's a greater likelihood that they're going to become niacin deficient, which leads to problems with growth, it leads to problems with their legs, if you feed them the Chickstarter. So you can also supplement with niacin in the water, and I'll put a link in the show notes for something that you can buy in order to do that. And another option you can give them is brewer's yeast, and again, I'll put a link in the show notes. So if you're going to raise chicks and ducklings together, and you're going to feed them that 18% Chickstarter, then the brewer's yeast is probably your best bet to avoid niacin issues in your ducklings. But again, if you're going to keep your chicks and your ducks separate in separate brooders, then you're best off feeding your ducklings something specifically made for either waterfowl or something like a game bird feed. Now, when it comes to adult chickens and ducks, you can keep them together in the same coop with no problems. I personally do that. And the only thing to remember is that ducks don't roost like chickens, so you are going to have to provide them with some sort of a duck house or some sort of shelter or something to get them away and out of inclement weather. You know, for example, if it's freezing outside, you're going to have to give them some sort of a house. They're not going to go and fly into the rafters. They just rest on the ground at night in order to sleep and everything. So that is something to keep into consideration if you are going to keep chickens and ducks together. But it's perfectly fine to do that. Ours get along perfectly fine. We don't have any issues with it. So if you want to keep ducks and chickens together, you know, you're not going to have any problems with that. And as far as feeding and pecking orders go, I've never experienced a problem with that. The ducks, you know, you just throw food on the ground or put food in some sort of a bowl for the ducks. The only thing I do like to do is I like to provide the ducks with a deeper bowl than I might if I was just feeding chickens alone. And that's because the ducks, by and large, they do perfectly fine on their own. But I personally worry about them, you know, being able to get enough food if they can't dip their beaks into a deep enough dish. And that's just a personal thing that I prefer to do. So, you know, I like to provide them with a deeper bowl. But other than that, you know, there's really no problems keeping ducks and chickens together. So moving on to our next question. This question is about using straw in the chicken coop. And the person said that they were told that they shouldn't use straw in the coop because it can cause respiratory problems with their chickens. And then they asked if they can use straw in the coop. And the short answer to this is yes, you can use straw. And it's something that I personally use in my coop. There's really nothing wrong with it. You know, there are choices outside of straw that you can use that are perfectly fine too. But if you want to use straw, if it's accessible in your area and it's something that, you know, you can get, you know, cheaply, then go ahead and use straw. It's perfectly fine. If you are going to use it, make sure that it's dry and clean and free of mold. Obviously, having wet straw or moldy straw is not a good idea. It's going to cause, you know, respiratory issues in terms of your chickens breathing in mold. It's going to cause problems with, you know, possibly skin problems, that sort of thing. So just make sure that it's straw that's, you know, harvested this year. It's clean, it's dry, it's, you know, smells good, and you're going to be okay using it. Now, the thing about respiratory issues is if there's like the chaff, for example, still attached, that can cause a respiratory problem. So when wheat is harvested, and I know this because we have wheat harvested around us all the time, it's extremely dusty. It will get into your sinuses. It will get into your throat. It'll get everywhere, and you'll have problems with wheat when it's harvested just because it's so dusty and it causes respiratory problems even in people. So that's where the idea comes from, that something like straw can cause respiratory issues in chickens. But by the time it gets to us as, you know, as something to use in your coop, that issue isn't there anymore. There shouldn't be any sort of respiratory problems with it. Now, some people say that you shouldn't use straw in your coop because it can harbor things like lice and mites. Now, pretty much any bedding can do that. You know, so for example, if you're using hay, if you're using sand, if you're using shavings, any of that can harbor mites and lice. If you are concerned about that, then before you spread it or as you spread the straw into the coop, you can use things like diatomaceous earth or wood ash, which are both excellent for external parasites and for removing external parasites. You can use either of those in the coop just by sprinkling it on the straw. Now, if you are going to use those, make sure that you're not using too much. Just use a little bit to sort of get rid of everything. And that's because things like diatomaceous earth actually can cause respiratory issues if your chickens inhale it. So what I'd like to recommend people do is they remove the chickens from the coop, sprinkle the diatomaceous earth, let everything settle, and then go ahead and put your chickens back in the coop. Now, other things that you can use in your coop are hay, sand, wood chips, and shavings. And there might be some other things out there to use in your coop that I haven't mentioned, but these are some of the more popular things to use. Personally, I use straw and shavings. Hay is usually fine to use. You'll have to make sure that it isn't moldy, but it can also have all sorts of, you know, good things in it for your hens to eat. Sometimes they find bugs in there, they find seeds or, you know, whatever they happen to see. They can find all sorts of good things to eat in it. Just make sure that it smells okay. So hay should smell sweet. It should smell fresh. That hay is okay to use, but if it's moldy, definitely don't use it. Shavings are also a popular choice, and that's because they're easy to clean. They are not likely to harbor things like mites in them. So I like using shavings personally. They're easy to just sweep out and keep everything clean. Sand is a little bit controversial in the chicken world. I personally don't use sand. Some people swear by it. I don't really know enough about it to say whether it's a good idea or not. Some people say it's unhealthy because it can harbor bacteria and it can cause things like crop impaction. Like I said, I don't really have much experience with it. I personally don't use it because of those problems, such as, you know, it can harbor bacteria and crop impaction. That's why I don't personally use it. It's just not for me. But that being said, if it works for you, then, you know, go ahead and keep using it. So now our next question is, how do you deal with a hen that's a bully? And this is a common problem in a lot of flocks. So to deal with a hen that's a bully, one of the best things that you can do is remove her from the flock for a few days. Around 7 to 10 days is best, and then return her to the flock. You're going to need to separate her so that she can't see the other flock members, and they can't see her. So put her in a crate, give her food and water, and just leave her in there, or, you know, let her out to go outside in another area of your property where she can't see the flock to give her some time outside of the crate. But the most important thing is to separate her so that she can't see the other flock members and they can't see her. So what happens during this time is that the chicken that's the bully, the offending chicken, she's forgotten about, and she's forgotten her flock, so that when you go to reintroduce her, a new pecking order has been established with the other remaining chickens, and the bully now has to find herself a place in this new pecking order. And usually that sort of takes the wind out of her sails. After she finds a place in the flock, she then, you know, usually kind of drops the attitude a little bit. Now, if that doesn't work, then you can try again removing her for a longer period of time, and if that still doesn't work, and your other chickens are getting hurt, then it might be time to give her her own space to run around in, or it might be time to just remove her from the flock permanently. So, you know, you might be wondering, why do hens do this in the first place? And the answer largely depends on context. So one thing to consider is whether you've just added new chickens to the flock. If you did, then this is just a matter of them sorting out a pecking order. It shouldn't last too long. If it lasts longer, then you might have a bully. But, it, you know, if it lasts a couple weeks, then, you know, it's just a pecking order issue. Chickens have a strict social order, and that pretty much dictates everything that they do, from who gets to eat first to who gets to use which nesting box and that sort of thing. And in some flocks, like mine, the pecking order is there, but there's no real drama about it, and everyone gets along for the most part. So in other flocks, or especially if you've introduced new chickens, the pecking order can be a matter of just constant dispute. And in this case, it's pretty much about survival, and even though you're providing them food and chickens are domesticated and everything, you know, good like that, the instinct is still there, the survival instinct is still there. And when you're the top chicken, that means that you get the most food and you have the best chance of survival. Other things that can cause drama is if there's not enough nesting boxes. You should have 3 to every 5 hens. And if your hen is bullying the other hens about the nesting box, then you can try putting more in there to see if that solves the issue. Now, another issue that can arise is if your hen isn't letting other hens near the feeders. And in that case, you can put more feeders in the coop to see if she lets, you know, the other hens eat that way. Now, in the meantime, if the hen has pulled feathers from the other chickens and their skin exposed, then consider using an apron to give their feathers more time to regrow. And you can also support them with extra protein by either feeding a high protein feed like a feather fixer, or you can also provide things like mealworms, etc. But the bottom line is that if it can't be fixed, then you might just end up having to find the bully a new home. So now our next question is a question I see a lot from new chicken owners, and I kind of wanted to take the time to address it. And that question is, what do I do with my chicken's first egg? So I see a lot of people online who their chicken lays their very first egg and they don't realize that they can actually eat the egg. So they ask, you know, what do I do with it? And the bottom line is that as soon as your chicken starts laying their very first egg, their third egg, their 25th egg, their 3,000th egg, you can eat the egg. So with their very first egg, go ahead and just eat it like you would any other egg out there. There's really no reason to not eat it. So I just wanted to address that question because it's a very common question I see. For some reason, there's an old wives' tale or somebody going around telling people that they can't eat the first egg that their chicken lays, and that's just not true. The very first egg she lays and every egg after that, you can just go ahead and eat that. So then our final question is about grit. And this is actually a couple questions. And the listener asked, where do you get your grit from and can you mix it with their food? And then they asked if you need to give it to baby chicks. So let's talk about the first two questions. You can get your chicken grit pretty much anywhere. Sometimes feed stores sell them. I buy mine off of Amazon and I'll put a link in the show notes about where you can buy that and the brand I recommend. But you can pretty much get chicken grit anywhere. So moving on to the next question, which is, can you mix it with their food? Yes, you can. Something really great to do is, when you give your chickens their meal, for example, let's say you put it in a bowl, you can just sprinkle the grit on top and let your chickens get it that way. If your chicken's free range, they're going to pick up grit, small rocks, stones, whatever they find. They're going to pick that up naturally anyways as they wander around hunting and pecking. But if you want to provide them a grit, you can sprinkle on top of their food. You can toss it onto the ground in their coop. You can put it in a separate bowl. It's really up to you. But if you want to mix it into their food, that's fine. To address the last question, which is, do I need to give grit to baby chicks? The answer is, if your baby chicks are free ranging, with their mom, for example, or if you are providing them anything other than chick starter, then yes, you should provide chick grit. So for example, if you're giving them treats, if you're giving them pieces of lettuce, if you're giving them anything else besides chick starter, then yes, you should provide chick grit. And you can buy that again online. I'll put a link in the show notes about where you can buy the chick grit on Amazon. I buy mine on Amazon. But it's very, very important to give it to them. And the stones are part of the way that chickens and the chicks digest their food. So as your chickens go around and they're hunting and pecking or they're eating or whatever, they're going to pick up these small stones. And eventually these small stones make their way into the gizzard. And the gizzard is a big muscle that helps grind the food down. Well, it uses these stones that they swallow to help grind the food down. So if your chicken doesn't have grit, for example, you don't let them free range and they stay in the coop all the time and you don't provide a grit supplement, then they're going to have a harder time digesting their food. But that being said, chick starter is formulated to be digested without the chick grit. So if you're only feeding them the chick starter, then you don't have to give them the chick grit. But if you're giving them anything else, then you should provide the grit so that the chicks can go ahead and digest whatever you fed them. So that's this week's podcast, and I hope it answers some of your burning questions about raising chickens. Now, if you're interested in raising chickens for their eggs, then you'll be glad to know that I've opened up enrollment to my course, Feeding Your Hens Right. I know a lot of you out there are getting chicks and that you'll want to raise them to be healthy layers, and this course will help you do that. But enrollment is open only until 11:59 p.m. Central on March 26th, and that's so I can concentrate on helping people who've enrolled, as well as work on building more courses to help homesteaders, as well as raise my meat chickens and work in my gardens. If you don't know what Feeding Your Hens Right is, it's a 6-module online video course that's like a series of workshops. By the end, you'll know how to feed your hens naturally so that you can be confident that they're getting an optimal diet. You'll know how to make your own homemade feeds, how to save money and make healthier meals by using fermenting and fodder, and you'll know how to use homemade probiotics and herbs to keep your flock healthy. There's also 4 amazing bonuses that are well worth the price of admission alone, including a video step-by-step how to make probiotic yogurt, a video teaching you how to make raw apple cider vinegar, which is critical to a healthy flock, and I can't stress that enough, a chicken first aid kit checklist, and a video guiding you how to use herbs and nesting boxes to get your hens to lay. And that bonus will be available on March 26th. You get immediate lifetime access to the course and the bonuses, and you can watch the videos whenever you want. So that means you can watch them today, 3 weeks from now, a year from now, etc. They're yours, and you can watch them whenever you want, wherever you want. The last time I opened enrollment, I had 100 students in 5 different countries, including veterinarians, so it's an awesome course that's been tested and proven. After March 26th at 11:59 p.m. Central, enrollment will close. I might open it up again to the public later in the year, but I can't promise that, and I can't promise the price will stay the same. So if you're interested, you can find out more at feedingyourhensright.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.